Welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast, the first one of August. It's brought to you by Shooters. I'm Justin.
Thank you, Shooters.
Thank you.
Jim Allen.
Nice having you here. Beautiful day for baseball today, I guess. It wasn't raining everywhere.
Okay. As long as they're playing, it's a beautiful day for baseball, provided you're not the one out in the rain.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to discuss the life and death of Hideki Urabe. We're going to talk about defense and defensive ability, and we're going to touch on some other topics. So let's get started by clearing the bases. We had the death of Hideki Urabe.
Right.
The once called Fat Pussy Toad by George Steinbrenner for not covering first base, huh?
Right. Well, George Steinbrenner was George Steinbrenner. Yeah, he's called a lot of people, and then, you know, afterwards lived to regret it. Well, I guess he didn't live to regret this one.
No, I don't think so at all. Now, you covered, I have to be honest, at the time, was in Nagoya and was focused on the Dragons in the Central League and didn't really talk to any of the Pacific League players at all. And sometimes they would play at Nagoya Dome, and I'd go to some of the games that I could get into. But I never really talked to these guys and never really, you know, paid much attention to the, as much attention, I should say, to the Pacific League. And the whole Urabe story, you know, came and went while I was, you know, basically focused on the Central League.
Okay.
So I never got a chance to talk to him, but you did, and you went through his whole experience with, not wanting to be a San Diego Padre and wanting to be a Yankee and his throwing of the fastest pitch in the Pacific League and all that. So, I mean, talk about the situation.
Okay. Well, Hideki Urabe was really a pretty amazing pitcher. He was a half American, half Japanese, or half Okinawan.
Right.
And who grew up in Kansai, and he was always I spoke to him on a number, not many occasions. I guess we spoke three or four times, once when he was with the Yankees. Actually, the first time I ever came face-to-face to Urabe was at a historical moment in his career was summer of 1996. Mm-hmm. And I was walking through a door at Tokyo Dome, and we just about bumped heads because we're about exactly the same height.
Yes, you are very tall.
And, I got out of his way, and I could see I had annoyed him, and I found out that what was annoying him was that he had had a meeting with the general manager of the Marines at that time, Tatsuro Hirooka, demanding to be allowed to move to the majors in the off season, and he essentially went on strike. He refused to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak. I don't know the whole details. I'm sure there are things I don't remember clearly. But
that's fine. I mean, like I said, at the time I heard the reports and I read stories in the newspaper. I just I was on the. It's kind of like looking over the fence as a nosy neighbor.
Right. Well, I wasn't, in much any much of a better situation. I was a freelance writer at the time, and I was following that. I was sort of interested. The Marines had a foreign coach, a guy from Hawaii, Len Sakata, was the batting coach. Basically, when the Marines fired Bobby Valentine after the 1995 season, they kept all his coaches.
The first stint that he had with the team.
Yes. They kept all his coaches. And so I'd gone to see Len Sakata that day at Tokyo Dome. The Marines were playing the Nippon Ham Fighters in their old home park at Tokyo Dome.
Right.
And so, anyway, I was watching this thing unfold, and it was kind of interesting because this is a year after Nomo, and Urabe had his breakthrough season. Essentially, two things happened with his career. One is the Marines, Lotte moved to Chiba in 1992, which, he was having ERAs. He'd had a 6.88 ERA his last year in Kawasaki.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed 20 home runs in 100 innings, and that wasn't so unusual for Kawasaki.
Uh-huh.
But then you go to Chiba, where the home runs aren't flying, and we've got a whole different ball game.
Uh-huh.
So he became, within a couple of years, he became a big workhorse. He ended up, 1994 was his big season. He went 15-10 with a really mediocre team.
Mm-hmm. 3.04 ERA.
Yeah. That is correct. And then the next year,
239 strikeouts. Isn't that the year he had?
He had 239 strikeouts twice. Straight years.
Yeah,
right.
94 and 95. Yeah.
And the next year, when the Marines put a better defense on the field, his ERA was 2.53,
mm-hmm.
and he was still good. And he was still he wasn't fooling anybody. He was just going up there trying to strike people out. But he did improve. He was a big part of that, of the Marines pushed them, as a lot of people, I guess, remember in 1995, the Marines went from fifth to second, and they challenged the Ichiro-led Oryx Blue Wave for the Pacific League pennant right up until the last week or so of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Rabu was a big part of that. And the next season, without Valentine, they went back to a Japanese style. And Rabu wasn't the only one who he had a good season, but he missed four or five starts basically because he went on strike. He wanted to go to the majors. They didn't want him to go to the majors. They had no obligation to send him to the majors. This was before the posting system.
Right.
This was... free agency was available, but no free agents had actually gone to the majors yet.
Mm-hmm.
The thinking at the time before Nomo was that when they made free agencies, nobody was thinking Japanese players were going to be good enough to play in the majors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay if we give them free agencies because they'll stay in Japan. Particularly, they'll go to the Giants.
Well, his going on strike, I guess, and this is a recurring theme with them, is that when he didn't get his way, he kind of pouted.
Yeah, well, he was I think he was sincere in what he. Now I don't know. You know, I need to talk to Don Nomura. I have to nail Don Nomura and set this up because I think I suspect he wants to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Don Nomura became his agent. Don Nomura is the guy who engineered the back door for Nomo to get out of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the whole story of the rest of the 1996 season, and in fact through the end of the season, was what's going to happen with Irabu. Marty Kuhner wrote a column, I think he was with the Mainichi at the time, in which he said there was no chance in hell Irabu would ever go to the majors because the Marines didn't have to. You know, the owners owned everything and they owned the rules and, you know, screw everybody else. And I thought it was hilarious because eventually people are going to go where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's basically a rule of it's the way things work. So Irabu, they did decide that there was no way they could keep an unhappy Irabu pitching for him. And so they traded him to the San Diego Padres, who they had a working relationship with. And suddenly Irabu I don't know the truth about this, whether he had always wanted to play for the Yankees or not, but suddenly as soon as he's traded to essentially his contract was assigned to the Padres and...
Not sold, I mean, the articles I remember, it seemed like he was sold.
Well, he was sold, and then two of the Padres farm players were... their contracts were sold to the Marines.
Right, and essentially he said, look, you can't treat me like I'm an object.
Well, this is an age-old issue with baseball anyway.
Well,
so,
with sports, yeah. Right.
Oh, well, with baseball particularly, and players saying, you know, I'm not a lump of coal. I'm not, you know, something you can just buy and sell. I want some choice in where I go. And they say, no, that's the way it's system. You know, we're an old game. Anyway, so Irabu goes to San Diego, and then he says he pleads to become a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't exactly work out that way. He is essentially allowed to go to the Yankees as part of a trade.
Well, because he refused to play for him, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Eventually the Padres trade him to the Yankees and trying to... For the life of me, I can't remember the players there was a big player in that trade.
Well, that's what the internet is for. Listeners
had a fairly storied career, but he goes to the Yankees and all kinds of hijinks ensue. He has an up and down relationship with Joe Torre. Joe Torre is positive as can be when he can be.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards saying there was a communication problem. When I spoke to Joe Torre, the one time I was at Yankee Stadium, Urabu won a game. Afterwards, Joe Torre was saying, yeah, all that communication stuff is in the past. This is the summer of 1999. Well, summer of 2000, it's all over for Urabu and the Yankees. He's off to the Expos. Then he has a drinking issue with the Expos. And then he ends up with the Rangers, where he's put in relief. And he's very good as a Rangers closer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in 2002. It was 2001 he went to the Expos. In any case,
yeah, 2002, and he had 16 saves with the
right.
Rangers. Yeah.
And then he had an issue with his blood being too thick, and he had to take a blood thinning agent because his blood was clotting and giving him a risk of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, that ended his major league career. And the next year, he's back with the Hanshin Tigers. Wins 13 games. I'm guessing he was 10-1 or 10-2 in the first half,
mm-hmm.
and pretty mediocre in the second half, as was another big pitcher that year, Trey Moore, for them.
Mm-hmm.
They both came back and pitched in the Japan Series, and both pitched pretty lousy in the Japan Series, as the Tigers lost in 7 games to the Daiei Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Urabu pitches one more season, but he is about done. And then he goes on his wandering way. He's in Los Angeles, and this part of the career, I'm a little shaky. It seems like he's retired.
Yeah, basically, he wanted baseball really bad, and baseball didn't want him.
Yeah, I didn't know the man well, but he was always friendly. He was always polite and to the point. I know somebody who had some personal experiences with Urabu's temper.
Mm-hmm.
That he could be, when he got rattled or he thought he was being treated badly, he could snap and be and act immature.
Right.
I think he did have, you know, he had issues coping in the majors. He wasn't anything like the pitcher that we all thought he could be.
Yeah, and I wrote when Tsuyoshi Shinjo retired, I think, you know, he threw a very fast pitch. He had a hard fastball, obviously.
Yep.
But that was it. And after that, he struck out guys, but he was, you know, pretty mediocre in his overall, his combined ERA in the States and in Japan. I mean, you know, he wasn't ever this dominating figure who was supposed to be the Nolan Ryan of Japan when he went over to the States, is what everybody was writing. Yeah.
Well, I think that was an accurate portrayal, because the difference is that Nolan Ryan, I'll tell you, Hideki Urabu was a very studious pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
He studied the batters. He had this, when he was in Japan, he religiously went over the batters with his notes. You know, how can I get this guy out? How can I get this guy out? How can I get this guy out?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened to that pitcher, but I'm guessing overwork, perhaps more work than his frame and his conditioning would allow, particularly in 1994. When he was a high school pitcher, because he was a big guy, and you know, he should have been able to handle it. Other guys had. In any case, he had issues. He was immature, perhaps. Immature in the sense, you know, that's what God gave him.
Right.
And he wasn't the pitcher. Perhaps we expect, because we, you know, we project him on, we projected him to be somebody else. And you know, I think he did very well for, you know, what God gave him.
Certainly, I have no qualms about, you know, overall what he was doing, because, I mean, obviously he wasn't the greatest pitcher.
No.
But he threw hard and he worked hard.
He worked hard, and I think he knew he had weaknesses, and he worked to deal with them. But being in the majors was a big challenge for him, and I can't say what happened, but things got ugly sometimes, much more so than they needed to be.
Perhaps.
And the whole thing is in some ways sort of, his untimely death is sort of in some ways analogous to that. I mean, this is something that didn't need to happen, obviously. But he had a series of issues, personal issues, that I really can't fathom.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we don't know.
But like I said, he was always, I never had an issue with him. The people I know who did know him thought highly of him.
Right, and I think highly of him, and, you know, I know that when people die, everyone comes around and says all the good things about what people did in their lifetime. And he did, he's a pioneer. Obviously, he's a pioneer. He helped Japanese players increase their options and made their options more freely available at an earlier time than the free agency, the plan that has it now. It's just an option, and he was a pioneer. But I have to say, I mean, as an observer, he just looked like a spoiled kid to me.
He had a tendency to act like a spoiled kid. I think that was his character. You know, Don Nomura, who's his biggest defender, and I don't know how much of the posting system that Don Nomura really despises is a result of Don Nomura's activity. I really want to get into that with him, but Urabu. I mean, I have somebody I trust that who lived in the same building with Urabu in New Jersey, who said, you know, he snapped and he was rude to the doorman, and that he had a tendency to seemingly get worked up over small things. But, you know, so that he was a human being. And
I mean, you know, being a spoiled kid and being selfish, that's part of being a star, whether you're a star athlete, a star singer, a star musician, whatever it is. I mean, it goes with the territory, because society helps exacerbate whatever negative areas that you have in your personality by spoiling you. I mean, you know, we always want to buy, you know, I hear friends saying, I saw a baseball player in a bar and I bought him a beer. I'm like, why are you buying him a beer? He should buy you a beer. You know, don't, you're going the wrong way. But the other thing I wanted to say was, you know, I just see him as a guy who crossed his arms and stomped his feet and pouted.
Okay.
And he did that to get his way a lot of times. And I think the situation he was in, he wasn't able to get his way. And this was his way of pouting and crossing his arms. And now it's permanent.
Yeah, well, I hope I don't know what happened, so I can't say.
I don't know. It just sounds like, you know, from all the articles I read, that, you know, his wife and kids were not in the house with him, and things were not going his way, and he effectively took the ball and left the game.
Okay.
Well, it's unfortunate.
I would say a couple things about Urabu, and I think the comparison to Nolan Ryan is a good one. Nolan Ryan, when he was young, I don't know if Nolan Ryan was selfish, but there's a great quote in Whitey Herzog, in his great book, You're Missing a Great Game, talks about Nolan Ryan. He says, you know, we all see what Nolan Ryan became, but he remembers him when he was an 18-year-old, and he said he was lazier than a hound dog on a front porch, and too lazy to get out of the move and get out of the sun. So, you know, that he became a scientist in his study of pitching arms and mechanics and conditioning was not to be expected from his early age. And, you know, you expect growth out of a young player. The disappointment of Hideki Urabu is like the disappointment of Kazuhiro Kiyohara. You saw what they could do you saw the raw talent at a young age, and you project growth. And that growth, when that growth ends, or that growth isn't what we see, you know, we tend to turn on people.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, he did what he could with what he had, and some of what made him a success is what helped him towards his downfall.
Well, you know, there are lots of factors. We don't know everything, and I'm sure everything will keep coming out as we move forward here. But I don't like the way it ended like this. I don't think it's fair to kids who are growing up and see these kinds of things happen. that that parents have to explain, you know, to their kids about a guy who they probably, you know, some of them looked up to, maybe. Maybe not some of the young kids now, but the parents looked up to these guys. And, you know, the kids are asking them. But rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Yep. I hope you know, you always hope for the best. I can't imagine any good coming out of it. I hope is the,
We wish the best to his family and his friends.
Yeah, indeed. So hopefully it'll be a lesson. Maybe there's something to be learned from it.
Okay. Well, let's pick up the show and talk about some things that we don't talk about, which is or something that we usually don't talk about, which is defense. We like to focus on offense. You're always talking about the home runs, the ball, the pitches, blah, blah, blah. We're going to talk about defense today.
We don't blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, I don't. I don't know what you're doing over there. I actually talked to Dave DeFreitas. He's a scout with the Cleveland Indians.
Right.
And, he's the Pacific Rim supervisor. He's been doing this for 5 years. And we spent some time. Yeah, it seemed like yesterday when you got here. We spent some time talking about the best players at each position except pitcher. We excluded pitchers. Now, I have to be honest, I spent about 20 minutes on this assignment just going over the guys in my head because I am an eye test guy. I mean, I look at guys, I can, you know, just see the way they move, see their running speed, gauge their arm strength and everything, watch their footwork. I mean, footwork is so important, and it gets lost sometimes in baseball because we tend to look at the ball.
Look at the ball.
You look at the ball, and if you look at people, players, and the way they set their feet and how they get into position to make that throw, you'll be able to see who's a really good defensive player and who's not. So I spent about 20 minutes. Dave, we just went off the top of his head, I think. But let's play the interview, and then we'll talk about what you came up with. All right, I'm here with Dave DeFreitas, a scout for the Cleveland Indians. How long have you been doing that? 5 years, you said?
Yeah, this is my fifth season.
All right, and you're the Pacific Rim supervisor?
That is correct.
And so you travel all over the place. Where do you go?
Well, I do mostly Japan because I live here, but also, you know, Korea, Taiwan, and Australia.
All right, well, thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Today we wanted to talk about defense. We always talk about on the show, we talk about homers, we talk about offense, we talk about the new balls. So we wanted to get someone in here who really knows defense and discuss that side of the game.
okay, I guess I'll try and help you out.
Well, you're supposed to know, so act like you've been there before, son.
Right.
Now, I don't consider errors at all unless someone has a really high number. You know, if their footwork is really poor, their throwing is really poor, and it's leading to a consistently high number of errors. Other than that, I mean, errors really don't mean anything to me, and I'm sure they don't mean that much to you either.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same boat with that. The way that, you know, being a major league scout, the way we evaluate the guys, you know, we kind of have to compare them to the conditions they're going to be playing in the States. And so, you know, these guys play on turf. It's like 98% of the fields are turf infields here. And so,
yeah,
you know, some of these guys, they can kind of predict the bounce a little bit easier than they would on a natural surface. You know, even a big league field, as nice as those are, it's still unpredictable sometimes.
Right.
So,
I look at some of the guys and their throwing is, you know, is not that great, but because the ball gets to them so quickly on turf, they're able to convert these ground balls to outs on the infield.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, to be fair to some of these guys too, the average speed here, from the, you know, for the hitters is, you know, above what it is in the big league. So that kind of the timing thing, I think, may even out. But,
right.
You know, the positioning that they're allowed to be in, you know, they can kind of be in a bad position or not have the best footwork and still be able to get the throw off in time.
Right, because there's so many slap and run guys here. They just want to get
on
the
ball. Yeah.
All right, well, let's go around the diamond at each position, starting in the Central League. And you just tell me what players you think are the best defensive players at each position. Now, I've given a lot of players the eye test over the years, but I'm not a professional evaluator, so I will take your word, sir.
Okay.
Stop stop laughing, man. You're scaring me with the laugh there.
All right.
To be honest, and essentially, I didn't really see much at first base. It seems like defense is not important at that position, but who would you?
I'd say if there's one position in Japanese baseball overall that kind of lacks a true star defender, it'd probably be first base.
Okay.
You don't see guys like Carlos Pena and Derek Lee who can really pick it at first. It's kind of the guys that had played something else and that, or maybe need to move somewhere so they keep their bat in the lineup kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
The big slow foreigner, somebody like that can come over and at least catch the ball. So
who did you see at first base? Who did you?
Well, maybe not this year, but I always thought Ogasawara did a real good job over there.
I'm so glad you said that because I've always said that that's his best position. Seeing him make some great plays over there. But,
he's got a great first step. I mean, he reads the ball real well coming off the bat. He was real good at third when he was there.
Yeah, he was good. I thought it was more than adequate. At first, I thought, well, why did they put him in a third? It's not his best position. And then he really became a strong third baseman.
Now, he's got, I mean, first of all, the guy works his tail off. He's one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. And, I don't get to see him every day in practice and stuff, but just watching him go about his routine, that's what struck me. But, he's got great footwork. He's always in a real good position to make a solid throw. And like I said before, he's got a great first step.
All right, second base.
Let's see. I had Tanaka from Yakult.
Really? I liked Keiichi Hirano from Hanshin.
He's good, but I think Tanaka is defensively he's a big league second baseman.
Really? All right.
He's a guy that can go over the states and really help some people. The guy works real hard. He makes all the routine plays and makes some of the spectacular plays. He may not have the best range to some of these guys. But he catches everything he can get to.
All right, third base.
That's really second base. That's all you really ask for.
Okay, third base.
I was gonna say either Miyamoto or Murata.
Murata doesn't have enough range for me, but Miyamoto has good range and he's got good footwork and the guy always seems to be on balance.
He's like Ogasawara. He's got a great first step and even though he's getting on in age, he's still. He positions himself real well, and just plays the position. And for Murata, for a big guy, he surprised me a few times with some of his plays down the line. And I've seen him kind of put forth a little bit more effort this year with his defense, which has been surprising. So.
Yeah, and the bat suffering, but hey, oh well.
Yeah, well, he's been all right. And now he's got a pretty good arm, too. So.
Okay. All right. Shortstop.
Sakamoto, hands down.
Really?
You're
kidding me.
Oh, right.
I was gonna go Higashide, Akihiro Higashide of Hanshin, Hiroshima.
He's been playing second mostly. I mean, he's not really anymore.
He's
been second base since I got here.
Right, and then Takehiro Ishikawa at Yokohama.
Yeah, he's good as well, but Sakamoto is just one of the most athletic guys I've ever seen. I mean, he's a big league shortstop. And the way his hands play and the way I see him make adjustments, if there is ever a bad hop, that's the kind of stuff that we look for.
And he's
got a lot of room to get better, too, which is good. He's got a plus arm, too.
Okay. At catcher, we didn't start off with catcher, but at catcher, I have Shinosuke Abe, and I don't really see anybody else who's...
I like Abe, but he's... He's had a lot of injuries. Ever since he dislocated his shoulder, he hasn't been able to throw real well. He can block some stuff up, but if you're talking about pure defense, I'd have to go with somebody like, it's still tough and it's close, but maybe somebody like Aikawa.
Aikawa, yeah, he's my number two.
I like Abe. The whole package is great, but, you're talking about a catcher, you just being able to block a ball, but throwing guys out and
calling
the game, too. I think Aikawa does a pretty good job with that.
All right. Now, the outfield was pretty much a mess. So instead of trying to pick, right field, left field, center field, I think we just pick the best three outfielders and go that route. Who do you got?
I'd say Chono, Akamatsu, and Kinjo.
Chono's up there with you, huh?
Yeah, Chono, I'm factoring some potential in there. But the guy's got tools, and he's learning. He's made strides so far this year and going back on the ball in center.
Mm-hmm.
you know, Akamatsu is just kind of a freak athlete.
He's a great athlete. Yeah,
Kinshaw's done real well this year. I didn't realize. I mean, that guy's got wheels. He chases some stuff down, albeit in Yokohama. But, you know, he gets to some things that I that surprised me. Kind of honorable mention would be, let's see, Suzuki, who's on the bench all the time. But when he plays, he's good.
With the Giants.
Yeah. And Aoki's okay. I think he's regressed a little bit.
I think so, too.
Just with his route running. I think if he kind of, with some of that, he might, he's still got the speed. And I think his throwing's got a little, gotten a little bit better. But, you know, I see him, I don't know if it's the ball, I've never played center in Jingu or, you know, any of these ballparks. So it's, you know, I don't know, maybe getting reads is tough in some of these parks. And the young kid, Maru from Hiroshima.
Yes, Yoshihiro.
Yeah, that kid's got a cannon. He'll win some gold gloves out here.
Yeah, I like him too. And I also like a guy who's also injured and not playing, Hichori Morimoto. I think he's got the best arm.
Yeah, he's another solid guy. He's a solid defender, and he's a good all around player. I'd like to, you know, he'd be a good guy to have if he were not so banged up.
All right, let's move on to the Pacific League. At catcher, we'll start off at catcher this time. I had Satozaki because I couldn't find anybody else. I couldn't think of anybody.
Genjiro, man.
Yeah, I like him, but he's still young and he still flops around. He's not steady back there enough for me. I mean, calling the games, throwing, blocking pitches. I want somebody who can do it. I want a veteran, and I mean, at least Satozaki's going to block some balls.
Right, and I mean, I'll take your youth and experience thing, and I'll Satozaki gets a little lazy sometimes. I mean, I don't want to.
I've seen it.
Talk bad on some guys, but I mean, I see him sometimes. You know, maybe he could have slid over a little bit more than he could. I like Ginjiro's energy back there. He does a good job. I mean, quick release. You know, balls on target all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He's good. I like what he can be, but I don't see him. You know, this is his first full year where he's been the starter.
Right. Yeah. But I think he could be a backup in the big leagues right now, probably.
Really? I mean, he can learn that. That would give him the chance to learn, to sit and watch and learn. All right. Let's go to first base.
Inaba.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say him, and he was such a good outfielder. But he's really learned to play that position and do it well.
He's like Ogasawara's counterpart. I mean, the guy's a real good athlete. He takes real good care of himself. You know, he plays probably 5 years younger than he actually is. And, you know, he just kind of, wherever they put him, he's going to figure it out and get something done. Again, he's not going to, not Carlos Payne or Derek Lee, but he's not going to hurt you over there.
Right, he's not killing him, yeah. All right, second base. My first choice is Kensuke Tanaka, the Nippon Ham Fighters, but he's injured and gone.
I like
Michi
him.
Honda is the second guy I had on there.
Yeah, I had Honda and then Kataoka.
Kataoka.
So, Kataoka really? Is another guy, like, I like his tools, but he doesn't get to some stuff that I think he should.
Yeah, and that's why Tanaka was great for me because he gets to a lot of balls. He's got a strong arm. He's in good position all the time. And again, a guy with really good footwork once he gets to the ball and gets throws.
But Honda, I think, is most consistent.
Yeah, he's good too. They're both really good. Third base.
Koyano.
Koyano, yeah, Gold Glove winner, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, watch the guy move. He wears that big baggy jersey. Makes him look like he's been sitting home on his couch drinking beer. But
I tell you what, he smokes like a chimney.
Oh, whatever he's doing is working for him. I mean, the guy moves around pretty good over there.
And, yeah.
It's not just turf plays. I mean, the guy, you know, the guy can go get it both sides of him.
I had also Aaron Baldrice of Oryx.
He's good. He's a hard worker. I mean, the kid, he's an overachiever. That's... you know, and I've seen him make some plays as well. But I think the quickness with Koyano on that first step and the ball down the line,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty good for me.
All right. You're in. Now, this is going to be a problem, shortstop. Yeah, I knew you'd start laughing, too. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kawasaki.
I like him, too, but I don't think he has arm strength.
Yeah, but, you know, he's accurate, though. He gets it over there. You know, when he needs to. And my other guy was Nakajima. He's kind of the same deal.
He's my first.
He's, I mean, he doesn't have, you know, the plus arm, but, you know, he gets rid of it quick. He gets the balls. You know, it plays in the hole. He's still, you kind of see that, and you're like, oh, the only guy's going to beat it out, but he gets him by half a step, you know, each time. So, it's, I mean, what else do you want?
He's improved a lot. He's really worked on himself, his game defensively, and I think most of that reason is because he wants to go to the States. But in the WBC, the last one they had, the American coaches staff and the announcers on TV were saying how well he played defensively, so they really like him. My other guy is Makoto Kaneko of the Ham Fighters, and he looks like an old businessman getting off a train at late at night, but he plays, you know, he's always in the right position.
Right.
He positions himself really well for the batters and for the pitching staff. But he doesn't have any range, and he really doesn't have that great an arm, and he's not fast. I don't know how he does it.
Well, I look at a guy like that, and, you know, the age thing, I kind of wonder if he's going to be able to take a step forward to, say, a natural surface. But I'm not going to say he can't do it, but, you know, I'd put my money on those other two guys.
You don't want to say he can't do it. I'll say it for you. He's 36. He can't do it. But, yeah. All right, and now another problem area is the outfield. Oh, man, this is a crowded place here.
Yeah, I had Itoi and Ishimine are my top two.
Gosh, those are my top two, too. Did you check out my sheet before you?
Oh, and you just know what you're looking at, that's all.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And
Itoi is at the top for me because of his arm.
Yeah. I mean, Itoi covers serious ground. Ishimine will be the top once he kind of gets his feet wet in this league.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be the top outfielder here for a while, I think.
Well, there's one other guy on my list I think he's going to develop at the same time with, and that's Ryo Hijirizawa. Hijirizawa.
Yeah. Oh, Hijirizawa, the Rakuten guy? Yeah.
Rakuten center fielder. I think, yeah, he's going to have to. Well, they're both going to grow and develop at the same time, so it'd be fun to watch them both do that. But I had Hijirizawa at number four on my list.
Yeah. I mean, he's okay, but again, I think he doesn't get to some stuff that I think he should with his speed.
And I think that's experience probably.
Yeah, he's a young guy. I mean, he was on there with my list. I had Sakaguchi and Akiyama. He doesn't play every day, but if he did, I think he'd be pretty good in the outfield. I don't know if he could play center, but he's pretty good in right.
Okay, I haven't really gotten I haven't seen him in a game yet.
He's got a pretty good arm. You know, he throws well, and I've seen him get in pretty good position on some balls. So,
all right.
But this is, you know, the first year that he's had significant playing time, I think. Or this is
You're
first
talking
year.
About the Cebu Shogo.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he's a first-year guy.
Number 55, yeah.
Yeah, he's a first-year guy, so he needs to get some game. But, yeah, he might develop in that.
Yeah, but I really like Itoi. I think he's the top one for me right now. I mean, the guy covers center field like a cornerback.
Without a doubt.
You know, he does well outside, yeah. And like you said before, he's got the arm to go with it.
Yeah. All right, bud. Well, we'll have you on again to talk about pitchers or, you know, some other aspect of the game. Appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. So that was an interesting interview from Dave. Now, I was surprised that he had Chono as the one of the top outfielders, but we were pretty close in our list, as you heard. Now, let's talk about your list, and then we'll talk about some of the guys on it. Go ahead. Starting the Central League. You don't have a list.
You
didn't
spend
any time on this assignment at all?
No.
You're going to get an F.
Okay. Who would I love? Yeah. Okay, well, we'll run down mine. Where are we going to start?
We'll start in the Central League at first base.
We thought we were doing both leagues.
Well, you said we were going to start. We're going to start in the Central League at catcher, actually. Catcher, first base, second, third, short.
And catcher's obvious. I think you have to go with Abe.
No doubt. No doubt. He was there as well. So.
First base, I like Kurihara when he's thinking about playing defense.
Now, you say that, but I don't like him at all. And
he's the guy whose footwork I
don't like.
Okay.
And probably because his head's in the clouds. I mean, he's thinking about his batting.
I think you're right.
I think you said it. When he's there mentally. And if you're not there mentally, you know, all the time on every pitch, you're not there.
No, I like Kurihara. I don't really like any of the Central League first basemen, to be honest. Central League, left field and first base. I mean, left field in both leagues is the position that time forgot.
Yeah. I mean, I lumped all the outfielders together. I actually just went through and picked all the good outfielders instead of trying to pick one at each position, because there's just that phrase out in left field really has
right. I mean,
play in this.
You know, Kanemoto used to be able to do it, but not right now. Okay, we'll go to second base. Jeez. I like Hiroyasu Tanaka a lot in the Central League. I like Higashide. Those would be my two if I had to pick them.
Yeah, Tanaka, Dave said, you know, was major league level defensively. So
he doesn't have the raw speed, but he's very quick and he's got very good hands.
Yep. I was impressed. Okay. Third base.
Third base is always hard. I'll go with Miyamoto still with the Swallows.
Right. Yeah.
He plays the ball. He plays back, and then he plays the ball in front of him better than anybody.
Well, and again, other than Ogasa Water, who has made himself a really good third baseman.
I pick Ogasa Water at first base, except that he doesn't play first. He's not even playing there now. I mean, you never know where he's going to be.
Yeah, he doesn't either, and he still hasn't found his bat. But
right. That is hard when you have to go out there barehanded.
Yeah, Miyamoto, his balance, that's the thing, is, and his footwork, better than anybody. And he's, you know, what did you say, five-time Gold Glover at shortstop?
Yeah, I think he could still play shortstop. In fact, I think he could play shortstop better than some of the guys the Swallows throw out there pretty regularly.
I don't know about that with the lack of speed. But yeah, I always say lack of speed, but the guy, you know, he's 40, but he's playing great.
Yeah, it's I think, a quickness issue a little bit, and I think it is the raw speed. He can't really go into the hole. So, okay.
Shortstop,
another position I'm not big on in the Central League. I have to go with my guys, Takeshi Toritani. I don't think there really is a great defensive shortstop in the Central League.
Well, there was, but he's been playing second base for the Dragons for a while. So, he was the best. Hirokazu Iwata, the best shortstop in Japan for years and years. And maybe they're trying to prolong his career and put him over at second so he doesn't have to work.
It worked. Now he's hurting on the farm team.
That's beside the point, I guess. But he hasn't been hitting, and they're just desperate for offense, so they're even moving some veterans around who aren't hitting at the moment and trying to find some combination. But, yeah, he's the best shortstop. I mean, Dave said Sakamoto was the best athlete, and that kind of surprised me.
That doesn't surprise me. Sakamoto's just got to get his head into playing his defense. I think he tightens up.
I think he's thinking about offensive stuff, and he's, you know, the one moment that his mind starts to wander is the moment the ball's coming at him. He's like, oh, I got to go get that thing, you know. I've seen him react a couple times.
Well, he's paranoid right now about making errors.
And that, too. He is. You can see the way he doesn't attack balls anymore. He's not aggressive on them. He's very tentative as he goes
back. And he's making errors.
And that doesn't help. That never helps. All right.
Yeah.
You want to pick some outfielders?
Yeah, I have to. Well, if I had to, you know, I have to pick outfielders, I'm going to go with Chono.
Okay.
And I would pick, center field. It's really hard. There's a couple of guys I do like. I like Aoki still. Akamatsu is a great outfielder, but here's again, this is the problem is that he's not really playing that much. So it's hard to say he's the best center fielder in the Central League when he's only a half part-time player.
Right.
But I think if he played every day, I think he would be the best center fielder in the Central League.
Well, the thing I noticed too is when I did this assignment, I realized why balls didn't fall for the Central League as much as they fell for the Pacific League during interleague play. It's because the outfielders are much better in the Pacific League too. In general, the outfielders are much better.
I think that's absolutely right. You look at the guys, the gloves that they bring off the bench with some of these teams, it's just amazing. I mean, if I had to pick, so if I had a third outfielder, another guy like his hero, say, with the Carp, and again, he's hurt and he's not playing, so I don't know if he really counts. He didn't pick a left fielder. If I had to pick a left fielder, I'd pick somebody you hate, which would be Wada. I mean, you don't hate Wada, but you hate his defense. But
He's a smart
player, and you don't see him make dumb mistakes. You don't see him make lazy mistakes.
No.
But you see him surprise the hell out of people because he gets to balls that people don't think he's going to get to, and he makes throws that people don't expect because they don't expect it from a kind of a slugger like that.
Right, and you know this better than anyone, or better than most maybe, is that when you get older, especially in the game of baseball, you really have to figure out how to position yourself.
Yeah, he's as good at that as anybody.
Exactly. And he also knows he's read so many balls off so many bats, and he knows his pitching staff. It's important because you know when guys are going to throw certain pitches, and you know if batters are ready, where they're going to hit the ball, or they're going to be able to turn on them.
Yeah,
he's moving off the, you know, before there's contact with the ball, and that's what you have to do.
If I had to pick another outfielder in the Central League, I might pick Matsumoto just because of the balls he can get to. But again, you know, we've talked about this before, there is a shortage of quality arms in the Central League outfield.
Definitely.
And, it's hard not to also pick Amaya, but again, he's a part-time player, so where does that leave us?
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay, right. Well, let's go to the Pacific League now, starting at catcher again.
Do we have to pick a catcher in the Pacific League?
You got to pick one. I mean, come on.
Sadazaki.
Yeah, that's what I picked.
I mean, you know, he gets the job done. He doesn't get banged up all the time. You know, he's somewhat durable. He can throw guys out on occasion. First base. Gee. Well, Inaba's playing first base for the Fighters. Can I pick him?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Dave said, and I was surprised, but then again, I wasn't, because I remembered seeing him, and he's made a few plays when I've seen him live that I thought were very much like a seasoned first baseman. I don't know about scooping balls, you know, low throws.
Right.
But he doesn't really have to do it, because the infield is pretty good with the Fighters, and he doesn't get a lot of a whole season's worth of low throws, as probably as many as other teams send to their
Kokubo's quite good. Shinji Takahashi, when he was with the Fighters, was pretty good. Lions.
We're just looking at the best ones. We don't want to list
who's
good. Thank you for playing. We have some lovely parties just for you.
Second base is a tough one because you either have Honda or Tanaka.
Yeah, well, I had Tanaka, but he's injured. But I still picked him.
I can't really pick between the two. I think Tanaka's bat decides that. That's not even that clear of a distinction.
Well, his bat.
They're
close.
I mean, he's a better offensive player just because he's got the additional pop.
All right. So we're going to third base and then shortstop.
I'm sorry. I always go shortstop. I'm a counterculture guy. Santa Cruz. Close enough. You know, this is Northern California. Okay.
Wherever you smell the weed, that's right.
Nasty. You know, at third base, I like, Koyano, if he's hurt. If he's playing, I like Koyano.
Yeah, he's playing.
Matsuda,
I like
shortstop, I'll go with Hiroyuki Nakajima.
Yeah, you know, and I told Dave about it too, that during the WBC, the announcers were commenting about how he was so good defensively, and this was before he actually started to work really hard on his defense.
Well, he's worked on his defense in fits and starts. He used to be, a couple of years ago, he was a really casual fielder.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's really got his defensive game something of a priority. He used to be, I'd say he was a lazy shortstop. he'd try to make the big plays and he'd mess up the routine ones.
Hmm. Okay.
Now we get to the real hard one, which is sorting out the Pacific League outfielders. There's,
right.
there's a bunch of them and they're good.
Yeah, you get three. Let's go.
Okay. I'll go with Hijirisawa.
Yep, you can go minus. Actually, I'm fourth.
And I'd go with Sakaguchi.
I knew you were going to pick him.
Yeah.
Although, where are you going to put him? I wouldn't put him in center because the other guys have
no, I'd put him in left because he doesn't
okay.
have the arm. All
right.
And I'd go if I had a – and I can't take Inaba at right field and first base, and he can't really play right field anymore.
No, he's not.
Anyhow, yeah, this is where I'm stumped.
Itoi.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had a right field, if I had to take it, if I had the whole outfield to choose from and had to pick three, it would be those three.
Yeah.
Itoi. If I had to pick a right fielder, it'd be Tepe Tsuchiya.
Yeah, well, Ishimine was on my list, and I put him above Hijirisawa because he's really going to be good. Yeah, I think he's really going to be good. We just haven't seen enough of him to.
And if I had a fourth guy, I'd get the guy who can go get him better than anybody, and that'd be Okada. Of course, really what you want for a fourth outfielder is a guy more with a gun than anything. So, because that's the guy you want the ninth inning.
So, for right
okay.
field, you're saying?
No, I'm just saying if you needed an outfield replacement in the ninth inning, you know, you got runners on base and you got one run and you need to keep the runners from moving.
Right.
I'd go with the guy the Marines have, Minami. But he doesn't play, so we can't count him. Okay.
All right. We'll quickly touch on the CL and PL races here. Swallows are doing the job. I mean, they finished with two ties in a row against the Giants, but one of them they blew, and one of them they came back to tie. So
One of them they blew, and one of the Giants blew.
I like to see the teams come out after the All-Star break and see how they're going to set the tone, if they're going to be nervous, if they're going to be – you know, if they're going to get the yips or the willies as they go through, you know, the dog days of August and into September. And, you know, they weren't great, but they weren't bad, the Swallows were. And I like where they are. And I think the race for third
right.
is going to be really interesting. I'm going to come out and say that, you know, Hiroshima is looking good here. I'm not so sure about Chunichi at all, no matter how much.
Well, I think we're talking about the race for second and third because I don't think there's no distinction between those, you
not
know,
yet.
Those teams.
Not yet. I mean, we don't know. I mean,
And I'm to be honest,
Giants still have a chance too.
Hey, I'm not convinced the Swallows are going to finish first.
Well, yeah, you're letting your heart get in the way, but if you just look,
if the Swallows are fragile. I mean, they got a lead. Every team is not as fragile as the Swallows. There are a lot of teamwork and positive feelings, and right now they still got the positive feelings, but, you know.
Look, they're
strong
on the mound. They're strong up the middle.
Yes.
You know, like I said before, they're the least flawed of the teams, and they have that magic thing, that thing that is pushing them in those close games.
They've got right now 14 games above 500. That's the magic thing they got right now. That's they got something in the bank right now. If they're borrowing against that 14 games,
all right,
and we'll see how long their credit holds out.
Okay, let's go to the Pacific League now. The Hawks took this weekend series. They swept the three from the Fighters. I don't think it's over yet. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think there's any time anything to panic about or sell the whole thing, but. You know, it certainly hurt the Fighters' chances, and they were very ineffective. They were pretty much punchless in this series.
Well, and then we had the return of Masaru Takeda's luck today.
Or lack thereof.
They beat Darvish, and Takeda, you know, the Fighters failed to score runs for him, so it's sort of like the way things were back in Interleague.
Right, but I was thinking today, if those teams meet in the playoffs, one of them's going to win the pennant. Those teams meet in the playoffs, and it's the Fighters coming in after having had to play the first stage.
Right.
Those might, you know, that's not going to be the starters who are going to pitch in that series if it gets to that point. If they have to play two games or three games, it depends. But they might be coming out there with the fourth starter for game one.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you this: what separates these two teams? And I was asking you. I mean, the pitching staffs are so different. We have the big, you know, you've got the big guns with the Fighters, but you've got the five, you know, the fifth guy so deep with the Hawks. So that's not going to carry any weight when you get into the postseason.
He's not going to pitch.
He's not going to pitch. So you got to like the Fighters in a short series. They don't have the bats. The Hawks do. So I think it's a wash. I still don't see any difference there.
I would like the Hawks. I'm sorry. I would like the Fighters in a short series if they were starting Darvish first, Takeda second, and then whoever they're going to put in third. But they're not going to be doing that if they don't win the pennant and they have
they're
to come
gonna
in.
Win. They're not going to win the pennant, I don't
right.
think.
Right. So that means they're not going to be starting out, you know, ace against ace. They're going to be starting out number three or number four guy against the Hawks ace. I don't know.
The Hawks.
That's a whole two ball game.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to get the back of ears against the top of the Hawks. That's not really a fair fight. And the Hawks got more offense, so.
They got a ball
okay.
for days.
So who's third place in the Pacific League, do you think?
Eagles are not that far out. They're not that far out.
Nobody's that far out.
I would like to see him come back and do it.
Burks is a game and a half out.
Hey.
Heck, Debu's four games out.
It's close. I don't know yet. I'm looking at
Debu.
The gutty little Eagles. I think they can pull it off if some kind of magic happens. If they get somebody hitting. If they keep Iwakuma and Tanaka healthy the rest of the way. You know, those guys help them win games.
Hey, you know, well, let's put it this way. Whoever finishes third is going to be volunteering for an unpaid trip to Sapporo. Where they're going to have no revenue, sell no tickets, and just pay through the nose. So good luck with that.
Okay. All right, and good luck this week, everyone. Listening to baseball, you can email us at YAKYUJOHN@gmail.com. Give us your comments. We're waiting.
Okay.
All right. Have a good week of baseball. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Enjoy, Don.
All right. Bye-bye.